Well, it's judgment time, and we are back on Radio Entrepreneurs. And my name is Jeffrey Davis. And when I say it's judgment time, that means we're speaking to my friend Phil Sharkey of the Higher Authority. And we better watch out. You better not shout, because whatever you're saying, he's going to check it out. Oh, wow. I feel like I'm Muhammad Ali all of a sudden.
Wow. Can I borrow that one, Jeff, and put it on the
I just channeled my Muhammad Ali. I didn't know I had it. Welcome back, Phil, and I hope you had a good summer.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it. Glad to be back with you today. And I think I have some good information, some good stats for you, Jeff.
Oh, good. And I know you're going to end it with some kind of sleazy little inside story, which I love to drool over.
Absolutely. Make sure you leave time for that. I got another superstar for you to wrap
you
up with.
You can tell I've done a few interviews today. I've taken my shackles off.
Excellent. So I'm ready for
it. Go get him, Phil.
Well, Jeff, today I wanted to talk to you about it and to our viewers about driving record checks and why it's such an important part of the full background check. I get so much pushback. It's so annoying to me. And it's not Big Brother. It's not an invasion of privacy. For me, a driving record check is a huge insight as to what I'm looking at in the hiring decision. Obviously, for DOT and trucking positions, with beyond a shadow of a doubt. But we do a driving check on all our backgrounds, Jeff. So whether it's someone working in the office, people sort of shrug and go, why, Phil? And why, Jeff? The first reason why is that 10% of what we do, even a lot more, but 10% for sure come back with a suspended license or what I call a long driving record history, multiple pages. So for example, we did 1,000 backgrounds a month last year. That was our average. So I'm not great at math, but that's 100 people each month that have a suspended license. And I have some clients go, well, Phil, it's not a driving position. I don't care. And I'd say, Jeff, you don't care. You're watching them drive into the interview. You're watching them break the law. And again, the rules don't apply, right? Jeff has to apply to the rules. Nathan, Chris, Phil, but someone else, 1 out of 10 people says, no, it doesn't affect me. I'm going to make this decision. And they know. A lot of people tell me, oh, they don't know, or they didn't get the notice. You know, that doesn't fly with me. I'm sorry.
Well, that's a tough one, because I also look at someone's history. College earlier on. Mm-hmm. I think time is a factor with something like this too. Do you look at that as well, how long it's been?
I do, and I don't want to come off like the hatchet man. Well, I do. My job's to be difficult and let the client decide what they think. Of course, people are going to have violations. No one's perfect. Of course, there's going to be speedings. And a salesperson is going to have more than someone who's in the office the whole day, like you or I. People on the road are going to acquire some violations. That's not who I'm talking about. I'm talking these people that have had a suspended license for months, if not years, and are driving a vehicle to work. And oh, by the way, if they do get pulled over, the car's going to be impounded and they're not going to be in work that day. So that's something really for employers to think about. Let me throw a few stats at you, Jeff. I know you like the stats. This one's from OSHA. This is for the average employer, not a trucking company. This is the average employer loses $74,000 on an employee when they have an accident on the job crash resulting in an injury. So of course they're called accidents, but sometimes when I pull a record and I have someone who's been suspended 3, 4, 5 times, who has 7, 8, 9 accidents, maybe that's a risk as an employer you just don't want to take on. 74 grand for each one time an employee gets in a car accident involving an injury. It's a big number. Another fact? You want another number? I'll give you one more. This is from the Automotive Fleet magazine. It was $56 billion was how much money MVR accidents cost employers in 2017. So $56 billion. So it's big numbers. And to me, business is all about mitigating risk, making best decisions. I'm not saying you can't hire someone with a bad driving record history. I'm saying when you hire them, they're currently suspended. They've been suspended for 4, 5, 6 months. It's a poor decision. It just is. It's just not going to turn out well.
You know, I have a history of bad drivers in my that I've seen in my life, and sure. I'll leave myself out of the equation, although I've had some major accidents. Mm-hmm. I've had 18 wheelers cross over the median of the Mass Pike and mm-hmm. play ping pong with me. They closed the pike for 2.5 hours. That's my awesome. Mother got hit by a truck face first mm-hmm. Off a sidewalk. Mm-hmm. And just 2 weeks ago, my son was sitting at a red light with 3 cars in front of him, and I won't say which company.
Right.
The truck behind him decided in a red light, he put his foot on his brake and he oops, put it on the gas.
Yeah.
In a four-car pileup.
Yeah.
And my son wasn't too happy about it. Neither were the other drivers. And the driver of the truck said, oh, I thought it was the brake.
And again, Jeff, I understand accidents, and there's surchargeable accidents where you're found to be wrong. I'm talking about someone who is basically a menace behind the wheel. And your examples you just gave, I'll go right with the trucking companies. In 2017, this is the last year that stats were available, 4,761 people died in crashes involving large trucks on the American roads. That's one person every 2 hours. That's a Boeing 737 plane crash every 2 weeks. Now, sometimes it is an accident, as you stated, and sometimes I have story after story after story of someone who should not be driving these rigs. And it needs to be, if it had been in other fields, we would have these people locked up based on their past history. One of the great examples I use is, I can use the company's name, it's public information, Westfield Transit. And these are the companies I try to target. Westfield Transit, which is now out of business, but they were the company where the young man driving for them took out the motorcycle drivers up in New Hampshire, crashed his rig, he was pulling a trailer into the Jarheads Marine Motorcycle Group, killing seven of them, injuring quite a few more. The scene was horrific. It looked like a war scene up there. Wow. And this guy's history was just atrocious. And for a $40
driver. You're making me think of other things. I think about Amazon.
Yeah.
Who are paying truckers or delivery people two to three times what everybody else is. So you're looking at the rest of the marketplace, and they're desperate to hire just about anybody they can to get into a truck.
You just nailed it. Like this guy, Zarowski, which was the driver for Westfield Transport, a month before that crash, 1 month before, he was stopped in Connecticut for an OUI. That was in May of 2019. The crash occurred in June of 2019. He had a long history. The Massachusetts Registry dropped the ball. They gave him a commercial license, which he never should have been granted. But the company, for $40, could have identified him as someone, not today. I guess what I'm saying is you're rolling the dice. Of course, there's people with accidents and speedings.
You're wrong, but what do we do when Amazon is paying double, triple for drivers and companies are going to go out of business unless they can get drivers?
Right.
And, we have a predicament right now. I understand what Amazon's doing, and, kudos to them. They have so much money and such success in this economy. They're growing exponentially even in this economy. And the rest of us, the small businesses, are desperate for drivers holding on to business. How do they solve their problem? It's tough.
It's a great point. And it's, I go to my buddy who's also in manufacturing, and he can't fill his office with 30 workers. The unemployment boost that they gave in this COVID crisis has surely made it more advantageous for them to stay home and collect than to go work for him. And your driver example is a great one. Amazon is a great company to work for. Although I'll tell you, I see these guys tooling around, and I hope they're checking their driving record history, because I see them 7 days a week and throwing the vehicle anywhere, blocking everything, two-lane highways with, I know they have to do what they're doing, but it makes me wonder as an investigator every time I see them out there.
Speaking as a person who was driving on the Mass Pike a long time ago, and watched an 18-wheeler drive over the medium and fly through the air into my driver's door with another truck and play ping pong with me. And I'm lucky I escaped with my life. I have to say, I've always been very concerned about who goes on the road. And whenever I get behind a truck, I jeopardize myself for a ticket and I floor it to get in front of them.
Yeah.
Because if they go over again, I'm coming in from behind.
We just saw it on the news. Was it just yesterday? I think it was out in L.A. or California, where the trailer truck just crashed through like ping pong. Same example as you just gave. And I do see the pushback. I do think there's always good people to find. Like I said, our numbers say 10%. So that tells me there's still 9 or 8 or 7 out of 10 to pull from. You're fighting the Amazons of the world. But I don't want to give up in mankind. Hopefully we can still fill those positions with quality people who want an opportunity that aren't a menace. Again, it's not you or I, it's not catching the speeding because you're flying by a truck to get ahead of them. It's the people with long histories, pages and pages of backgrounds. I've done, 3-page driving record history of infraction. That's not a trend, that's what they are. They're a bad driver or they're a person with an abuse problem that affects their driving.
That's why we have you on here, Phil. We need you to remind us about what reality is and who we're hiring, because the one thing about business is it's driven by people, and we can't take people for granted no matter what the business situation that exists. Phil, if someone were looking for you, how would they find you?
They'd find us right here in southeastern Massachusetts, 508-230-5901. You can also see us on the internet at hireauth.com or email me directly at psharkey@hireauth.com. And Jeff, let me leave you with our superstar of the day. This is from a little company called Bausch & Lomb. They were pretty successful there in their day. And it was just someone, the chief executive officer, not like, you know, just someone pushing a broom. But this gentleman was Ronald Zarella. And he had earned an MBA from the Stern School of Business in New York University, top-notch school. Unfortunately, once they somehow it came up, they checked that he never graduated at all. He was enrolled for parts of 72 through 76, but he still got that level. And his punishment, he had to forfeit a $1.1 million bonus from Bausch & Lomb. So again, it's not just the lower-level people that aren't who they say they are.
Well,
they're on the job for him.
Corporate. White collar theft, I would say, is epidemic in a lot of corporations. And we don't have the system to enforce it, but we do have the population who need to keep their eyes open.
And I hope small businessmen and large businesses at least take the time to do a thorough background check and find out beforehand. It's so much better for you than finding out after the fact.
I don't like compromises. And that's why we have you on. And Phil, I look forward to our segments. I look forward to seeing you next week and every week as we go into the fall in this new economy on Radio Entrepreneurs. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Jeff. A pleasure always speaking with you.
Great, Phil. Thank you very much. Remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs.